Well, today's scripture reading is 2 Samuel 2, 1 to 7, and it deals with signs. And in the healthcare industry, there were a lot of signs, and they have a lot of different colors. And they actually have a test that you can take to see if you're colorblind. And they have a booklet, and you open it up, and there's a whole bunch of dots, and then depending on whether you're colorblind or not, you may see a number show up. And so out of 12 different things, I'm kind of really only half colorblind, so I could still see the hazard signs in the hospital and still work there. But Pastor's going to talk about some signs in the spiritual realm that we need to be aware of. So I'd like for you to stand with me as we honor God's word, to read his word. Second Samuel 2, 1 to 7. Sometime later, David inquired of the Lord, "Should I go to one of the towns of Judah?" The Lord answered him, "Go." Then David asked, "Where should I go?" "To Hebron," the Lord replied. So David went there with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. In addition, David brought the men who were with him, each one with his family, and they settled in the towns near Hebron. Then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. They told David it was the men of Jabesh-Gilead who buried Saul. David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said to them, "The Lord bless you because you have shown this kindness to Saul your Lord, whom you buried. Now may the Lord show kindness and faithfulness to you, and I will also show the same goodness to you because you have done this deed. Therefore be strong and valiant, for though Saul your Lord is dead, the house of Judah has anointed me king over them." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Children may be dismissed for children's church. Please be seated.
I have been driving now for almost 50 years. And over those 50 years, I've traveled a lot of highways. I've taken a lot of trips, and I've seen a lot of highway signs. I've seen speed limit signs, and I obeyed them more or less. I've taken a lot of trips where I've seen warning signs. I've seen stop signs, yield signs, informational signs, construction signs, and just about every other kind of roadside sign you can think of. Road signs provide a very appropriate metaphor for what David was experiencing in the first few chapters of 2 Samuel. And I want to kind of give us a quick pass-through of these chapters and not look at everything individually. But there are some interesting lessons that we find as we look at these passages. David wasn't on a literal journey, but he was on a figurative journey toward being installed as the next king of Israel. And it's that journey that we see recorded in this passage. At God's command, Samuel had anointed David as the next king, and now King Saul had died in battle, and it seemed logical that David would then become the king. That was God's plan, that was God's promise, and that's exactly what would happen. But the road to David's installation as king over Israel was probably not what David expected, and it was much longer than he expected. Five of the road signs that I have seen over the years, of which I'm sure you have seen as well, serve as appropriate metaphors for what David encountered on his journey to become Israel's king. As we travel the road God has set before us, whether we're talking about the road to Christlikeness or to the fulfillment of God's promises or to the ministry that God's called us to perform or to anything else, it's likely that we will encounter some of the very same signs, metaphorically speaking, that David did. The very first road sign that David would have encountered would have been one that said information. And during my travels over the years, I've noticed many signs for tourist information or traveler information, especially after we cross a border into a new state. Those information centers had all kinds of maps and brochures about where to go, what to see, where to stay, and how to spend your money in their state. Every time David came to a key transitional point in his life, he recognized that as a time when he needed to seek information from the Lord, as he did in 2 Samuel 2:1. It says there that sometime later, David inquired of the Lord, "Should I go to one of the towns of Judah?" The Lord answered him, "Go." Then David asked, "Where should I go?" "To Hebron," the Lord replied. Saul had recently died, and David was the divinely appointed successor, but he didn't take anything for granted, and he sought God's direction on how to proceed at that important point in his life. At that time, David was still living in Ziklag, which was in the Philistine areas, and God directed him to move his family and his men to Hebron in the tribal territory of Judah, which was David's tribe. As we travel through this life, it's important for us to imagine information signs posted at regular intervals and key junctions on the road that we're at, that we're on. And we need to take advantage of the information that God provides those who seek Him. God's Word is filled with promises that He will guide us and that He encourages us to follow those directions. It only makes sense, doesn't it? He knows the path we're on. He knows where He wants us to go. So we need to seek Him. We see some of those promises in Psalm 31:3, for instance. David acknowledged that it was God who was leading him and guiding him. The familiar 23rd Psalm, another Psalm of David, says that God leads us along the right paths, the paths of righteousness. Through the prophet Isaiah, God says to us, "I am the Lord your God, who teaches you for your benefit, who leads you in the way you should go." And in the New Testament, when Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd, he says that he goes ahead of his sheep and they follow him because they recognize his voice. On the highways, information can be found at designated rest areas or special welcome centers. For David, information from God was acquired through the use of the Urim and Thummim, the special stones in the high priest's vest. But for us, the Holy Spirit is the one who provides the information we need, usually by means of the Bible and prayer. The importance of regularly reading God's Word and spending time in prayer, both asking for direction and also listening for the Spirit's voice, are vital in the Christian life, especially when we come to these points of transition in our lives where there's a change. We need to be seeking God's direction as to what He wants us to do. Because I live in Ohio, but went to college in Massachusetts and ended up marrying a girl from Massachusetts, I've traveled between Ohio and Massachusetts literally dozens of times. As well as I think I know the way, I've learned that it's still important to read the directional signs that have been posted along the route. There was one trip I remember in particular when Sandy and the kids were sleeping, which is not an uncommon thing on those long trips. And I was driving along and I was kind of daydreaming, and I ended up missing a left exit that I needed to take, and I did not realize that until I was 10 or 12 miles down the road, and the next exit was still a few miles ahead, the next opportunity I had to turn around. I missed what I was supposed to do because I wasn't paying attention. We need to pay attention. We don't want to make the same mistake in life that I made on that road. We can't assume that we know the way. We can't start daydreaming and just kind of drift along. We need to go to God. We need to check the roadmap that we have in His Word to make sure that the choices we're thinking about are compatible with what God's Word is. We need to make sure that we seek direction from Him in prayer. When we do that, we need to listen to His voice. We need to give Him time to answer us and not just ask Him to bless what we already want to do. And we need to keep our eyes open for the signs that He gives us along the way. David regularly sought information from God. And so shall we. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. And always acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. A second road sign I've encountered during my journeys symbolizes something David also encountered on his journey to become king. Construction ahead, expect delays. Don't you love signs like that? Especially when you're on a long trip. You know, you want to get there as fast as you can. You're tired of riding in the car. And then you come across a sign like that. Construction ahead, expect delays. We don't usually like signs like that. One summer when our family was coming back from one of the international quiz meets that was up in Minneapolis, they were working on all the toll booths around Chicago. And there were a lot of them. It took us a full hour to get through one of those toll booths, 45 minutes to get it through another one of those toll booths, and the other toll booths weren't a whole lot better than that. It ended up adding 3 hours to our trip from Minneapolis to Columbus. And that's a long trip. We don't like delays very much, especially we Americans, those who invented microwaves and drive-thrus and high-speed internet and instant everything. But sometimes the road that God wants us to travel includes a multitude of delays for construction. David was experiencing some significant delays on his way to becoming the king of Israel. After Samuel anointed him, he had to wait a dozen or so years before Saul died. Saul was still the king quite a while after David was anointed. Then God allowed David to become king of just one tribe for 7.5 years. The two together, that's almost a 20-year wait. But it was important because God was doing some construction. And when we experience delays on the road that God has placed before us, it is often for the same reason. God is doing some construction. Sometimes God has to prepare the road that he wants us to travel. He has to get the road to be what we need to have so that we can travel on it the right way. Even when God was sending his own son into the world, he waited until what Paul called the fullness or the completion of the time. God wanted to send Jesus to the earth at the best of all possible times. When the whole civilized world spoke the same language, when the Roman roads were built and facilitated the spread of the gospel, when both Jews and Gentiles could have a hand in killing the Messiah, when the Jewish synagogues throughout the empire provided a base for Christian preaching and made the Old Testament accessible to everyone. While Jesus was waiting to come to earth, God was constructing the perfect time and place for his ministry. And then, in the fullness of time, at the right time, God sent his son into the world. God was doing a very similar thing for David. He was using both David and Saul to subdue the Philistines. Then God waited for Saul and his heirs to be taken out of the picture. He used a weak king to create a dissatisfaction with the status quo in the hearts of the people so that they would welcome David as their king. And God wanted to strengthen David politically and militarily before he placed him on the throne. David may not have enjoyed the delay, but God was at work constructing a better situation for David to take the throne. There are also times when we experience delays because God has to prepare us. Sometimes he's preparing the road ahead of us. Sometimes he has to prepare us. The most obvious character traits that the delay was developing in David were patience and trust in God. When things come to us quickly, we don't learn patience. We don't learn trust. It's when things become difficult, when we have to wait. That's when we learn patience and trust. The delay in making David king over all Israel also helped keep him from becoming too proud. God put David in minor roles of leadership to train him and grow him until he could handle the major leadership role of becoming the king over all of Israel. And I'm sure there were other things that God was doing in David's life at this time to make him a better king later on. Whenever we experience delays on the road that we're traveling, whatever that road might be, we can be sure that God is using those delays for some beneficial construction in our lives or along that road. So when that happens, we should rejoice in the fact that God is working, and we should faithfully keep doing what he's given us to do in that moment as we're traveling that road, trusting that God's timing is best and God will get us to the intended goal in his time. Another sign that I've seen on the road from time to time warns us that we are coming upon a deer crossing. And I'll explain the spelling of deer in just a minute. But first, a few years ago, Sandy and I were driving home on some country roads, It's actually Manette New Winchester, if I remember correctly. And two does ran onto the road and stopped right in front of us. So I decided to stop too. And it was very interesting. They looked at us and then proceeded to casually cross the road within inches of our car, as if we weren't even there. That would have been a good place for a sign that said, "Deer crossing ahead." As we're traveling through life, we need to be alert to deer crossings. Not only the kind of deer that's spelled D-E-E-R, but we also need to watch out for deer crossings when deer is spelled D-E-A-R. God brings people across our path from time to time who are dear to Him and need our help, encouragement, time, direction, or something else. As David was on the road to becoming the king of Israel, God brought some dear people from Jabesh-Gilead across his path, people who needed encouragement. Starting in the middle of 2 Samuel 2:4, we read, "The men of Judah told David, 'It was the men of Jabesh-Gilead who buried Saul.' David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said to them, 'The Lord bless you, because you have shown this kindness to Saul your Lord when you buried him. Now may the Lord show kindness and faithfulness to you, and I will also show the same goodness to you because you have done this deed. Therefore be strong and valiant, for though Saul your Lord is dead, the house of Judah has anointed me king over them.'" The people of Jabesh-Gilead were strong supporters of Saul because it was Saul who delivered them from the Ammonites back in 1 Samuel 11. Nahash, the Ammonite, was going to gouge out the right eye of everyone who lived in Jabesh-Gilead and make them his slaves. But Saul rallied the Israelites to come to the aid of Jabesh-Gilead, and the people of that town never forgot their debt to him. In gratitude, it was the men of Jabesh-Gilead who retrieved Saul's body after he was killed in battle, and then they gave him an honorable burial. When David became king of Judah, you can imagine that these people were probably a little bit nervous. They had been a big fan and a big supporter of the man who was an enemy of David's. So they were nervous, and David sent this message to encourage them and to assure them that he appreciated them and that he would show them kindness for what they did, not retaliation. It was probably tempting for David to focus so much on the role that God was calling him to fulfill that he might have ignored these others in need. He might have just gone on with his purpose of becoming the king of Israel and not worried about these people of Jabesh-Gilead. But he didn't do that. He knew they were dear to God. He knew that God had allowed them to cross his path, and he wanted to take care of them. From time to time, when Christians are confronted with a need, I sometimes hear people say things like, "No, that's not my gift." Or, "God's called me to a different kind of ministry, not to deal with this issue or that issue." Either or both of those things may be true, but God doesn't want our calling or our giftedness to prevent us from ministering to others that he brings across our path, especially those that have a need. In Philippians 2, Paul tells us that everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And in Romans, he says that those who are strong have an obligation to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not to please ourselves. We need to recognize that there will be times when God interrupts the journeys that we are on by bringing dear people in need across our path. And even if the road we're on is important, he usually wants us to take a break and minister to those in need. There may be exceptions where God says, "Keep plowing ahead. This is important. This is not something you can be distracted from." But usually, if he brings someone dear across our paths that has need, he wants us to take care of them. Jesus taught that in the parable of the Good Samaritan, didn't he? A parable that he concluded with a command, "Go and do the same. Go and do the same." And Jesus practiced what he preached. There were times when Jesus was either trying to get away with his disciples, or he had a particular mission in mind, and there were people that came to him with need, people that came across his path, and instead of ignoring them or chasing them away or allowing his disciples to chase them away or telling them that he was busy, we're told that he had compassion on them and he ministered to them according to their need. That's what God calls all of us to do. Watch out for those deer crossings. as we're on the road that God has called us to be on. A fourth kind of sign that I've seen on long trips said rough road. For me, the rough roads were usually the result of the construction, but David faced a rough road for different reasons. He had already been traveling a rough road when he was hiding from Saul, and now we see him having a rough time of it from 2 Samuel 2:8 all the way through the end of chapter 4. In the first place, he faced opposition from Abner, Saul's general, as well as Ishbosheth, Saul's son. Abner was really the one with the power, and Ishbosheth was more of a puppet ruler. Abner knew full well that David was God's choice. There was no doubt about that in his mind, and he admitted that later in a conversation with the elders of Israel. In 2 Samuel 3:17 and 18, it says, Abner conferred with the elders of Israel. In the past, you wanted David to be king over you. Now take action, because the Lord has spoken concerning David. Through my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the power of the Philistines and the power of all Israel's enemies. So Abner knew that David was God's man. Abner knew that David was the one that was supposed to be on the throne, because he knew that God told him that. But you know what Abner did? For selfish reasons, he opposed David. He kept trying to support Saul's son Ishbosheth. As a matter of fact, he was pretty adamant for quite a while and caused a lot of opposition to David. This reminds us that even when we are doing God's work and following his orders, we are not immune to opposition. David was on the right road, but he was facing opposition. And oftentimes when we're on the right road, we face opposition because Satan does all he can to thwart what God is doing in people's lives and in his church. And that makes for a rough road as we travel the path God set before us. Because of this opposition David faced, he also had to engage in some battles, not just facing opposition, but I guess that's kind of opposition on a bigger scale. The armies of Judah fought against the armies of the other tribes. In our case, the battles aren't military battles, they're spiritual battles, and we need to remember that. When we face opposition to what God tells us to do, there's always that temptation to confront our opposition with arguments, anger, or harsh words. But we must never forget that the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. We need to take up the armor of God. We need to find our strength in God, and we need to fight our battles primarily on our knees in prayer. The battles may become intense, but prayer is the mightiest weapon of all, because the God to whom we pray is almighty. Because there were battles along David's journey to the throne, there were also casualties. 12 of his men were killed in a military contest with some of Abner's men, and 19 of David's men were then missing after the ensuing battle, after that little incident. Later, when Abner decided to defect to David and fight for him instead of against him, Joab, David's current general, didn't like it, and he ended up assassinating Abner. So David lost a man who potentially could have been a great asset to him, even though he was a former enemy. We too might experience some casualties as we pursue the path God calls us to take. Sometimes pursuing God's will for our lives results in losing some friends. Or there may be some other sacrifices that we have to make. We may lose our job. We may miss out on some opportunities. Or it may cost us some money. So there are many things that might make the road we travel a rough road, but if we're sure that the road God has called us to travel, if we're sure that's the road he wants us on, we need to stay the course. We need to stay on that road. Finally, during my travels, I've seen some signs that said welcome. Those are good signs. Every time we crossed the border from one state to another, there was a sign that said something like, welcome to our state. And usually our family, when the kids were young, every time we saw that we were transitioning into a new state, we all applauded and cheered because we were one step closer to our goal. And the greatest cheering and the greatest applause came when we got to that sign that said, welcome to the state that was our final destination, because we knew that we were pretty close to where we were going to go and the long drive was almost over. I doubt that the people of Israel used literal signs to welcome David. They may have taken their clay tablets and held them up and said, welcome, David. I don't know. But we do know that they welcomed him. He was welcomed as the king of all Israel in the beginning of chapter 5. That chapter starts out, it says, "All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, 'Here we are, your own flesh and blood. Even while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led us out to battle and brought us back. The Lord also said to you, "You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will be ruler over Israel."' So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron. King David made a covenant with them at Hebron in the Lord's presence, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began his reign. He reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, over all Israel, he reigned 33 years. The important thing to see here is that God's promise to David was fulfilled, and his plans for David. The road to that point had been a long one and a difficult one, but David persevered on the road that called him to travel, and he finally reached his destination, the throne room of Israel. I don't know all the roads that God has called you to travel. I know he's called all of us to travel what the Africans call the Jesus Road, which refers to obeying and becoming like Jesus. Maybe God has called you to a particular kind of ministry, and you're seeing some delays. You're seeing some detours. Maybe he's called you to pursue a particular profession. Maybe you're yearning for one of the promises that he makes in his word to be fulfilled in your life. Whatever road God has given you to travel, and whatever road he may call you to travel in the future, God's word for you today is persevere. There may be delays from your perspective. There may be decisions that require a lot of prayer and Bible study. There may be detours along the way. There may be rough spots on your journey. But if God has called you to travel that road, you will be blessed if you persevere. And as sure as God is sovereign, that road will eventually lead you exactly where God wants you to be. Father, I pray that you would give us that assurance when we face all these obstacles. We're sure that you're calling us to a certain thing, or your word is calling us to a certain destination, whatever it may be. We're confident of that, and yet sometimes, Lord, it's tempting to give up because of what we face on that road. But I pray, Father, that you'll give us the strength to persevere, that you will keep before our eyes the promise that you have made to us, or the command that you have given to us, that we might continue with perseverance and endurance to pursue the race that has been set before us and arrive at the destination that you have determined for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.